Studio 360.
That is a brand new track from a band I saw at a club a 10-minute walk from my apartment right after I moved to New York City and lived in the East Village in 1976. It is Long Time, a new track by Blondie, and Debbie Harry and Chris Stein are here with me now in Studio 360. And Chris Stein, just so listeners know what's going on, is wearing dark glasses, which pleases me a lot because it's fully on brand, I think.
We try harder.
Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
Where would that club and apartment have been?
CBGB's 9th Street between 1st and 2nd.
Okay.
That club.
I have sunglasses. I can put them on.
No, I'd rather see your eyes.
Okay.
Him, I can, whatever. That track that we just heard for this new album, Long Time, was co-written with this guy, Dev Hynes, who people know or not as a guy who performs as Blood Orange. There are lots of these, I guess, unexpected collaborations on this record by people who probably idolized you when they were children. how did you recruit and decide on who you would do this with?
We just got, you know, tracks sent to us, and we listened to them and chose the ones we liked.
Yeah?
Yeah.
We put out feelers. There's a little bit of discovery and curation went on.
With some people we pursued and others we just
were passive about, and they flung things in our direction.
Oh, you were pursued as well? That's always nice.
Yeah.
Yes,
well,
absolutely.
We put out feelers that we were looking for material.
Yeah.
So we went over like 30 tracks at least.
Yeah.
We asked you guys, and you consented to put together a playlist for our listeners with some of the bands that have influenced this new album. So let's play the first one.
Okay. This is that Nada track. But my Italian is really flimsy.
She's Italian. Right?
This is in Italiano.
Senza un perché.
Something about not having a wife or something?
You tell me, dude. It's your song.
I think. Yeah. Really, really like this track, and I wound up, you know, I will play things 30 times in a row.
Huh.
And this is one of those.
It's so, dare I say it, kind of, I mean, un-Blondie-ish, because it's so simple. It's just such this girl singing, right?
Well, we had a simple stage, you know, at the very beginning. We had a real... We had a real basic beginning.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
You were like a folk singer?
Well, we had a three-piece band, so it was very minimal.
It's a little more aggressive than that track, but
Yeah.
Huh. Thank you for introducing me to her. I didn't know nada. Here's another song from your playlist. It's called Flashed Junk Mind by Milky Chance.
You know this, right? This was a big hit. Well, you gotta.
She's saying no because I didn't
know from the first two bars.
Once I heard it, I realized I'd heard it a million times. No, we are stone minds. But what do you like about it musically?
It's kind of primitive, and I like these songs that sound like hippie jams. You know, it sounds like a bunch of guys in a room just doing it, and it's got a great melody. It's clever. And it's this kind of stoner track.
Yeah, and they're Germans. You got your Italian, you got your Germans, you got your whole axis going there, you know? You've always been grabbing influences from elsewhere. I was reminded of your 1980 hit, Rapture. First number one pop song that had rap on it. When rap, 1980, was still new and unfamiliar. You had another hit that year called The Tide Is High, which was a cover song in this proto-reggae-ish genre. The tide is high, but I'm holding on. Now, those, I mean, weren't obvious for you guys to record then. How did those come into your stream?
I think we were always reggae fans.
Yeah.
And what was that, Mighty Sparrow?
Mighty Sparrow. I loved Mighty Sparrow. Lovely. I always wanted to try one of those Calypso songs with the band, but we never could pull it off.
Yeah.
Do you know that Mighty Sparrow track, Wanted Dead or Alive? That just kills me.
So wonderful.
That's so great.
Yeah.
If a wanted man shall be ran, fighting hard to survive, he too is wanted, dead or alive.
So you felt free back then to drive outside your lane.
I don't think there was a lane, We didn't have a lane.
It was just all just one big shoulder.
Yeah.
or ditch, in some cases. Here's another song from your playlist.
Well, this is, you know, a little later after we had passed through CBGB's, came the hardcore scene in the 80s. And I think these guys were, you know,
this
part
is
of that.
Fugazi.
Yeah, or Fugazi. Fugazi.
Fugazi was the car dealership, so it's always hard for me not to pronounce it that way.
Yeah.
As it is for all New Yorkers.
Yeah.
This is Waiting Room.
Yeah, this is like the
right.
brilliant
yeah. Love it.
Pop song, even though it's a hardcore punk song.
It is a hardcore punk song. And I remember in the late 80s when Fugazi came along, and I thought like, whoa, are we done with punk now? I mean, it wasn't that a decade ago?
It's still going on now.
I know. I see
great young bands out there.
Yeah. I always love the sound of all of these guys' voices, you know. And it's not real tight, you know. It's just like song. I just love that.
Yeah.
There's something really terrific about this track, though. It just always knocks me out because it's so simplistic and minimal. It's just it's so great. I don't know.
It struck me, though, at the time as a revival of this thing that had just happened not very many years earlier. Do you know? Like, whoa, we're not giving up this punk idea.
Somewhat, but it was a little reframed in the hardcore situation.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Of the pigeonholes that you were described as, new wave or punk, or I'm sure others, did you embrace one of them and say, yeah, that's what we are?
I think we mostly said we were a pop band, you know, even back then.
We had no excuse. That's all there was.
New Wave was like really a deliberate attempt to find a more palatable way to say punk.
Yeah, and to say we're a little intellectual.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
I guess, yeah.
It was a marketing tool.
Well, what isn't?
Because the punk thing was scary to people.
Yeah.
Yeah, punk was too
as
scary.
As a label.
Right. You, Debbie, back then, were one of the very few women fronting a successful rock band. Really, the one for a while. Did that seem at the time like, oh, my God, I've had to be so much tougher to do that? Or did it seem like, oh, my God, this is a great opportunity because I'm the only one?
No, I didn't think that I was the only one. And I don't know. I just was determined, I guess, or obsessed. But I mean, there actually were a lot of girls on the scene that never really got out beyond a certain point.
Why did you?
I had a good partner.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You looked good.
Various.
I looked good.
She looked okay. Yeah.
Occasionally sounded good. Yeah. I don't know.
I want to play a great older Blondie song called Ex-Offender. This is either you guys at CBGB in 1976.
Oh, God.
Performing live. Maybe I was there.
Wow, it sounds like it's like inside a bucket.
It's punk, man.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Get her off. Get the hook. This is Gary Valentine's song.
It's very frenetic.
Yes. We play it now, but we don't play it that fast.
Yeah, it's a little maniacal. CBGB's was really a hard room to play because the PA was so far out in front of the stage that you didn't get any sense of ambience.
And all the people standing there were having their eardrums destroyed by the speakers. Yes. What do you think when you hear that now, other than like, oh, is that you playing or not?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's a little messy.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't mind the messiness. It just Just so squeaky.
Meaning your voice or the recording quality?
Everything.
All of the above.
Yeah, yeah.
So CBGB's back then was this incredible scene with all these young musicians, not just you guys, but Talking Heads and the Ramones and Patti Smith, all of them. Playing there and cross-pollinating. Did that at the time feel like this incredible ground zero to you?
Not exactly. I mean, we knew that, you know, there was a lot of great bands and it was an enjoyable scene. You know, there's a lot of characters there and friends and, you know, it was exciting. So, you know, there was something happening every night.
But we had all seen, like, the Dolls
yeah.
go out and yeah. not succeed really in America, you know, because it was just too weird.
Yeah, so everybody, the New York Dolls, for yeah. those who don't remember.
Everybody yeah. was kind of insulated. You know, it was a little exclusive niche.
That we you could just be New Yorkers in New York and screw the rest of the world.
Kind of.
Pretty
yeah.
much. Yeah. yeah.
Are there scenes, equivalent scenes today that you have seen or step into or tap into?
I don't think they have the same time to ferment. I think they are immediately uploaded onto YouTube and are given attention very quickly. So I think that period of 4 years that the scene was going without much attention was significant in its formation.
Even if they all live in Brooklyn, it doesn't have the same – that's an interesting thing. That it doesn't have that same – that, you know, aged in casks kind of a built thing to happen.
Perhaps.
Moldy.
Yeah.
yeah.
Speaking of pollinator, as I was thinking about, the scene you were in the 1970s, and I think I used the word cross-pollination. Did it feel that, like you were all
yeah,
kind of affecting each other?
We were definitely influenced by television and the Ramones and the people around us.
Yeah.
I'm putting on my pollinator hat.
Whoa! She's now wearing, ladies and gentlemen, first of all, the headphones are now like a
headphones go with it.
A barrette around her forehead, and there's a little fur, they're furry bees?
Furry bees, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I wear this for shows.
Really?
Yes.
The whole time?
You know, in connection with the pollinator being the
album.
I get
it. See, I didn't even
bees,
think about
yeah,
it.
No, we are
there's just a bee on, and there's a bee on the record cover,
right.
but I didn't even think about it.
Well, we're supporting the bees because, you know,
the bees
are in dire straits.
They are.
Yeah. So?
Are you beekeepers?
I am a beekeeper.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so there's a whole backstory here. How many hives do you have?
Well, I have four, but two of them are doing better than the other two, and it's worrisome, but they are really going. So the two that are going really great guns.
Yours aren't in the city?
No, mine are in Jersey.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
They're Jersey bees. Well, ladies and gentlemen, on the next episode of Beekeeping This Week, we'll have Debbie Harry talking about her success and failures as a beekeeper.
Okay.
Debbie Harry, Chris Stein, thank you very much.
Thanks. That was good.
You're welcome.
Good. Blondie's new album, Pollinator, is just out, and the band's U.S. tour begins in July. Also, a breaking development on Debbie Harry's devotion to bees, she and the band just launched the Bee Connected campaign, that's B-E-E, along with Friends of the Earth and Greenpeace to raise awareness of the ongoing collapse of honeybee colonies around North America and the world. You can find out more at Studio360.org.